All right, round two, huh? Let's go ahead and take a moment of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the time. Thank you for everything that you do. We just continually pray for our country and pray for our just pray for our freedom, that you continue to work in people's lives and allow that to manifest into a blessing to everyone around us. We thank you for your message. Thank you for your word. And just ask that you can continue to work through us. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We left off in 1 John 1:5 through 10. And the specific verse we're on is verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And we kind of focused in on the practicing the truth. And we brought up a little point about walking in darkness, in that it can be very deceptive, right? It can be. It's not always something that we can see or maybe even notice until we get to a certain point in our lives. And, you know, there's so much on our own shoulders that we've taken on. That's when we tend to notice these things. But that can be minor, or it can be major, depending on how far down that road we want to take it. So don't think of walking in darkness as something that, you know, you have to be living under a bridge. You can be allow stress to actually control your life in such a way where we would actually classify falling in this area. But we saw that the word tells us otherwise, and the point I was trying to make on those three verses were, they're always good to hear, right? They're promises. They're always nice to hear, and they're the word. And the point of that was, either we're applying these verses, we're taking them to heart, taking them into our thought process and actually living them, or we're not. You know, I can take my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But if I'm thinking I always have a need, I'm not living out this verse or applying it as I should be. And I think that's sometimes goes under the radar, that it's all here. It's just the holdup always tends to be on our end. But that's why we keep going. You know, that's why we keep doing what we're doing to get better, to kind of tweak how we live. We all want to live better Christian lives. And so here we are. And so don't allow these things to consume you. Otherwise, we're neglecting the word, I guess is another way to say that. So, and these verses are part of the light. Part of the light is truth. I mean, depending on the context and what verse you're looking at, light can mean truth. Jesus Christ is truth. This is the mind of Christ. Remember, this is his word. So when we're thinking light, all these things should come into play, and the verses I just read are part of that light. Living, walking in the light is actually applying those verses and not you know, taking on everything in your own power. So there's a whole lot of potentials here, but if we don't take advantage of them, then we're not technically walking in the light. And then, of course, we mentioned that the walk includes your life. This is a life process, right? This is your spiritual walk. This is a day-to-day process that we all come to an understanding of, and the next day we maybe walk a little bit differently. We maybe tweak our path and go another direction because of something that God showed us through his word, that we're thinking another in a different direction. That's walking in the light. Because what light is, it's illumination. God shows you the path. He shows you that the work he can do and how he does it, and he shows it through it to us through his scripture. Because when these things like worry are not controlled, then what we basically are saying is that I don't want the solution that God's Word offers. And then you end up trying to just take on all that, and it just consumes you. So it overpowers you. Just it's outside of our capability to be able to handle the burdens of this life. It is. That's why God designed it in such a way to for you to need something outside of yourself. And that's why we have to reach to Him, reach to the Holy Spirit, reach to His power to walk in a manner that's worthy, and that's in this light we have here. So you just have to want the right solution is part of this process, I feel. And it isn't found in your own strength. But we notice we have a tendency to deceive ourselves in that area. I got this. I can do this. I can take on all these difficulties and keep all these things in track, all these things in order. And then what happens is you end up folding. You fold, you give up. Because there's just no way to take on all these things when it comes to... Remember, this is a spiritual problem. It has to be dealt with spiritual solutions. So sin in the life of the believer can only come under control when you practice the truth. And that's part of what this verse is telling us. Practicing the truth is actually applying what you're learning. Not just seeing it, but believing it. Taking it to heart. Taking it to be something that you can use. That's the wisdom that you can actually walk out of this door and take that verse that I just read and apply it to whatever you see, whatever comes your way. And it really, this is probably the American Christian's number one issue right here. Practicing the truth, I think. Because when we have mental problems that we can't seem to get over, like you name it. I just named a bunch of them. Or you can even throw some kind of lust pattern in there. If you know, we have to look around us and say, what about the inner happiness? Where is that? It's not found a lot of times outside of your inner circle of Christian close friends. You look in the world, there's not a lot of inner happiness and contentment. And that's because there's not a lot of practicing of the truth. There may be a lot of talk about it. There may be a lot of I'm doing this and I'm going here and I do this and that. But when it comes to actually practicing the truth, you know, practice what you preach, right? You ever heard that? Well, same concept here. We have to practice it. We've actually got to do it. It has to be a part of us. So, and you've got to be able to trust. Remember, that's the whole deal about our spiritual life. It runs on faith. You've got to believe the word before you can actually apply it. If you don't believe it, yeah, that looks good. I see what it says, cast all my cares on Him, but do you believe it? Well, yes, I believe it, but your life isn't showing that you believe it. See, it's two different things. We can be disconnected there too. We can see it. We can say we're going to apply it, and then we can do something completely different. That's not really what this is referring to either. Practicing the truth means actually practicing. It does mean actually putting these things into practice. It's a lifestyle. You've got to trust in God's Word no matter what. So, and then here comes the contrast in verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, here's the upward motion of this. We're going back into the positive now. I just want to mention a few things about this passage right here. I've heard this passage interpreted in a way that makes it appear like the result of the confession of sin and walking in the light is that you simply have fellowship with one another. That's it. The result of these things is just fellowship with other people, but that's actually a secondary thing that occurs from walking in the light. Do you remember how John first started this? If we say that we have fellowship with Him, He's talking about God. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, well, what happens when you walk in the light? You've got fellowship with God. Not only do you have fellowship with God, but you have fellowship with other people. Because our relationship with God dictates and controls and allows us to manage and function in such a way where we can have relationships with other people in a way that is in accordance with this light, with the Word. There's absolutely nothing telling us otherwise except this relationship that God is first and then other people. And He does. He mediates. It's amazing to see when a relationship isn't going well, something's not going right, and guess what? You put it in God's hands or you pray about it and tell Him how you feel about it. Watch Him work. It's amazing to see how He will take something that is unsolvable, unfixable, and something that I can't ever see the end of the road to, but He will tweak and turn and allow things to happen in such a way where it just works out. That's how He works. So, the result of walking in the light, remember what walking in the light, there's a lot that goes into that, but that's really practicing the truth, and that's thinking and living the Word of God. That results in fellowship with God and fellowship with other people. It's a good point. So, that tells me if I have any relationship issues, and I'm not talking about relationship issues that there's, there's certain things that are unreconcilable, right? There's certain things that, you know, you just have to hands off type of thing. You've put it in God's hands. You've prayed about it, and you know where you are in that relationship, and you know it's in accordance with the Word. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. But see, it's still in God's hands. And that's where it needs to stay. And you've left it there. It's just to the point where there's a stop right there in that relationship. But if there is any issues in our relationships, always, 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 we can go back to this relationship right here. Jesus Christ. People problems always get resolved with our spiritual need and our spiritual food that we receive from His Word. Every single time, God resolves these issues. Because think about what the word fellowship means. It means participation. Full participation. And in order to participate with God and His plan for your life, then we have to seek the truth. That's a big deal. Seek the truth. So many people, they want that fellowship, but they don't want to seek. It's the truth that sets you free. And it also sets you free from so many other burdens that sin can cause in your life. So, and then it says, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all of sin. Now, this verse is actually setting us up for 1 John 1:9. Everybody knows that verse. The word cleanses here is the exact same Greek word coming up in 1 John 1:9. So you can see who's doing the actual cleansing here. Just calling that out. John is addressing sin in the lives of believers. And this is who cleanses that sin. The word here for cleanse means to remove something for the purpose of purification. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to be purified. Now, when we are cleansed from sin, guess what? You're purified. You are a purified, a holy, sanctified believer until you sin again. But God gives us the option. He gives us a mediator. To even just have the ability to be cleansed is phenomenal. Because what else happens if we're not cleansed? What are we going to hold on to? That sin. We're going to be guilty. We're going to feel bad about it. We're going to do things to compensate for it. We're going to try to cover it up. We're going to try to do X, Y, Z. But this is Jesus Christ cleanses that sin. And as we'll see in a couple verses, He also forgives that sin. So we definitely have to have this. Remember, the cross paid the penalty of sin and gave us the option to have this cleansing and confession of our sins to be forgiven. It all goes back to the cross. Without the cross, there could be no forgiveness of sin because Christ was our substitute. He took on that penalty and He took on our due penalty. So, and when you believe in Christ, guess what? That penalty that Christ paid for is actually applied to you. Even though you didn't pay it, it's applied to you as if you did pay it. That's how we're allowed to move forward in this anything that we know that's good in this earth. Spiritual, anything that the Bible tells us that we're able to do, it all goes back to the cross. Every single bit of it. But with that power comes what? To be able to have Christ cleanse your sin. And as you know, after salvation, we still sin. So all I'm getting to is we've got to be cleansed on a continual basis. And we're not to that verse yet, but you all know where it's going. And then verse 8, kind of, you know, this is John. Remember the problems he's having. He's just trying to reiterate to people because this is what they were claiming, apparently. John tells them, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Speaking to believers, they must have been minimizing sin, minimizing the fact that it was there, or saying, you know what, I'm a believer, I don't sin anymore. That, you know, we've all heard that before, right? Well, there's something called mental sins as well. Mental, verbal, and overt. A lot of sins. So John wanted to make that clear. If we tell ourselves that sin is not an issue or not even in existence in our lives, then we're lying to ourselves. And the truth, I would say the practice of truth as well, is not there. So this is a soul issue. So he's calling them out and saying, you're deceiving yourselves. Because really, that's, you know, sin is an issue in everyone's lives, believer and unbeliever. It's just a matter of how much. That's the real issue. Sin's going to be there. Sin's going to be with you until you die and depart this earth and shed this sinful body. It's just a matter of how much is it a part of your life. For the unbeliever, that's all they know. They don't have access to the cleansing until they're saved. You got to be a believer, right? To have access to the great things of what the Word of God tells us. But for the believer, that's all across the board. Some people more, some people less, but we've still, same thing remains, we've still got to have this cleansing, because you will never, ever be able to manage your sin properly in a biblical way unless you see what the Bible says about it. That's the only way you can manage sin correctly, because on your own, you can't do it. It'll consume you and you'll keep being involved in whatever, X, Y, Z. You've got to see what it says here, and we see that Jesus Christ cleanses. And then, of course, what do you know? Verse 9 is showing us how to allow Jesus Christ to even cleanse us. And I want to point out now that this cleanse is in the present tense, active voice, which only means there's a continual cleansing. This is a continuous thing that happens in the life of the believer. Active voice is saying what? This takes your own initiative to initiate the cleansing. This is not an automatic process, just like salvation isn't automatically applied to people just because they're born. This takes a decision. People have to come to the, you know, eat out of the cookie jar on their own. They have to want the cookie. God gives them to us, but if we don't want them, they just stay in the cookie jar. And this is another one of those things that requires our positive decision to make to continuously cleanse. Initiate that process. Here's that condition again, right? If we confess our sins. There's the condition. In other words, if we do our part, if we do our part, he just wants a confession. God already knows our sins. God already knows your prayers. God already knows what path you're going to take in life. He knew what you were going to sin before you sinned. But guess what? He still wants you to pray. He still wants confession. He still wants you to acknowledge. And all it is, that's all it is. It's just acknowledging our faults before our God and Savior. That's all that is. And that takes some humility. It does. Because, man, we don't like that. I don't like what I did. But I just have to admit it. And the beauty of it is, it's taken care of. Right here, look what we're seeing. And then we see, notice that we see we and are here. We and are. We confess our sins. There's two personal pronouns. We and are. That does not include any other people. That includes you and who you're confessing to. We and are. Not are. Yours, personally. This is strictly between you and God. And then what automatically happens, he is faithful. Look at this. This means he is trustworthy and dependable. So you can count on it every single time that you go to him. Whether you've repeated it and repeated it, you have an issue in that area, and you keep wanting to go to the right place to receive help. He will correct. He will help. But you have to want help. This is the way to receive help. This cleansing absolutely cleanses. And as we'll see, the reason why John wrote this book was so that you will sin actually less. You know, we use the heck out of this, probably more than most as a new believer. And you, the idea of the word and being a believer is, you know, you should sin less than you did as a new believer. I do believe that. That's a given. Because your thinking changes with the word of God. Things are different in your life. You deal with things differently. You don't blow up all the time now. You don't get as angry. You don't get frustrated. You put things in. See, you sin less. But you will still, some things will still get under your skin. And it'll turn your, and you'll still say, well, dadgummit, that got me. And you'll sin. So, but guess what? Even though besides that, he is faithful. And that's just grace. We continually fail, and it says he is faithful and just, or some translations say righteous. And all that means is he's perfect and sinless, and he's justified in forgiving that sin and being faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the reason he's just in forgiving us goes back to what? Because we're disobedient. How can he be just in forgiving it? Goes back to the cross. Goes back to the cross. Remember, that penalty was applied to you as if you paid it for those sins. You're just committing it. The penalty, the death penalty, has been paid. So he can forgive you for that reason. It was paid and judged on the cross. And then he doesn't stop there. Forgiving us keeps on going, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin has a tendency to leave residue behind. That's what it does. One of those things is guilt. I talked about that. Guilt, fear. In other words, sin is usually never alone. It always involves other sins. So part of this process is it will always be accompanied by other sins, but the verse says God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That little bitty Greek word, three-letter word right there, all. Actually, three letters in the Greek too. All, pos, is the word. And that's important because you would think that in order to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that you would have to confess all sins. Right? Well, you're thinking, oh, I can get away with just not saying some of them. No. The reason for that is because, as you well know, God created you. And guess what he knows? He knows you're human. He knows you forget. He knows you don't know what is a sin sometimes. He knows you forgot about a sin you did last week and you never did confess it. Oh no. He knows that you make mistakes and you're not necessarily sure that you're falling into that realm of the sinful area. But what do? You still go to confession and you confess. He knows you forgot. And what does he do? He still forgives of all unrighteousness. See, the point is just going to acknowledge. Just go. The fact that you just go to that altar and confess and say, here, this is what I did. You're human. God created. He knows all these things that you forget and you didn't know. That's how he can even include the word all. You know, the human part of me says, well, I'm faithful and just to forgive you all if you confess all your sins. But that's not what he says. He takes it into account. That's just a little bit of grace in that verse, or a lot of grace. Can you imagine if we can never get in fellowship? I'd always be, you know, there's something that I forgot about. I didn't know was sinful. Right? So take those into account. What matters is that you are looking for the cleansing. Not people, not doing some kind of deed to make you feel better about it, but you're going straight to the source. You're going to the only one that can fix the problem. Nothing else can cleanse. It has that cleansing. When I think of cleanse, I think of a good wash down. A fresh water wash down, we used to call it on the ship. Everybody on the ship, when you're pulling into port, goes into port, and you got to get all the salt off the ship. So you have a fresh water wash down. Everybody's spraying the ship, washing it down. That's what we get. That's what we get. He washes us from all the salt. Salt is a good thing in the scripture. This might be a bad analogy, but you get the point. He washes us from all the unrighteousness that we have in us. Everything. Every single thing. So you can actually move forward in your Christian life with no fear, no guilt, none of that. Because why? Not because you did anything for that. It's because it was taken care of for you. And that's, I think, really the underlying power and beauty of growing in this world with a sinful nature and still being able to move in that upward swing and still sin. Because we will sin and we will fail. But look what we have. I mean, you've got to feel good about that. Even to have the option. Because that's the only thing that can make you feel internally good about the result. Nothing else that I can do or you can do is going to make you feel internally good about a cleansing or a counterfeit cleansing, I guess we could call it, that anything else is going to give you. Because when God is doing the forgiving, he's doing the cleansing, it means that it's spiritually real and effective. Unlike what I can come up with on how to deal with sin. God is the source. See, you always thought, I can never remember all my sins. Well, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. That's not even a logical issue, if you really think about it. God knows these things. Well, I didn't know it was this and that. I've heard that argument. I didn't know it was sinful, so there's no way I could be in fact. There's no way I could be as holy as God. There's no way I could be. And yes, you can. Because this verse right here is telling us you can. And there's a lot of other verses that say you are holy and you are sanctified and you are perfect until you sin. And then you go through this process again. Do it. It's over and over and over again. That's part of the hard knocks of the Christian life is we live in a fallen world. And we are going to suffer because of sin. Just part of it. We're going to suffer. Christ suffered. He was in this world, in a sinful world, and he was without sin. Can you imagine? Everybody against him, or a lot of people against him. And he still felt pain just like we feel pain. Hunger, temptation, and all the rest. So, and remember I almost said Paul. John is writing to believers to be able to address and manage the sin in their lives. And this doesn't have to be rampant. This is just to manage sin in general. And I just want to show you the verse that says that. Because remember, I don't guess I put that verse in here. I can read it to you. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things." Here's why he's writing all this. "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Here we go. "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So all we have to do, this is saying, just follow the instructions on how to handle sin in our lives. And I think this is, we can better fulfill the command to walk in the light. To walk in the light. And then now we need to see what the light consists of. If we are going to walk by it, don't we? Actually, did I read verse 10? I don't think I did. Verse 10 says, "If we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Sounds like he already said that. He kind of did. This is the second time he's repeating this. Although it's a little bit different. Remember the first time he says, "If we say that we have no sin." So apparently that was an issue. People were saying, "I'm sinless." Believe it or not, there are some people that believe they can get to a state of sinless perfection. And I'm not teasing about that. I'm just telling you a fact. So apparently it was an issue here too. Then he says, "If we say that we have not sinned," he's covered the whole area. He's saying, okay, you say you have no sin, or if you say that you haven't sinned. Yes, he's saying, yeah, you have, and yeah, you have. Both. I'm answering yes. So here he's just saying, you know, this time he makes it even I think, a little bit worse, because first of all, they're deceiving themselves. And now he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in it. So now, you know, it's almost going, that's his blasphemy, right? So both of these are true. We're sinners in both areas. And so here's the... Oh, I already gave you the verse on the reasoning. So now we need to know what the light consists of. And this is how it starts. Verse 9. "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now, this is the third instance of the word light here. The third one. And this is the first one with the article. And all that means is it's bringing attention to light. That's why the L is capitalized here. The other ones were capitalized, but they didn't have the article. This one's bringing out the light. It's bringing out the light, if I can use the English article, the light. So, which is what? Christ, in this case. The light. But we're talking about the fruit of the light. The fruit of the light. So fruit is produced or made. And in this case, it apparently comes from the light, is what it looks like. So, something that should be coming to your mind is when we hear the word fruit, production, is, well, first of all, walk, what we just talked about, the Christian walk. And then also, I think of the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Because there's actually one of these that are actually one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's goodness. It's goodness. Good. Here we have goodness, righteousness, and truth. And believe it or not, by you being consistent in your intake of the Word and application to His Word, you can produce all three of these. All three of these. These are products. And by the way, this word goodness, it's only found three other times in the New Testament. Three. One of those being in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There it is. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. There's that condition, if. See how all these things are related to sin? We're talking about crucifying the flesh. That is dealing, managing, and properly getting along with sin, is what that means. Through the Word, through the power of the Word. So there's a definite correlation there with the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the light. Obviously, one God, right? Three in person. They should be. And it's also not an accident that the context of Galatians is walking by the Spirit, and that's what also walking by the Spirit is hindered by what? Sin. Just like in our passage. What hinders you walking in the light? Sin. Sin. Sin is always the issue. It's either sin or a lack of intake of the truth. It's one of those. If we have problems, we need to focus on those two things. Our relationship, am I getting to know Christ in such a way where I am actually knowing who He is? And this right here, proper management of sin. It's always one of those, relationship or sin, which kind of goes back to fellowship, doesn't it? And then we have the word righteousness. Righteousness. Which is the foundation for the light. Of course, that's not our own, right? That's from God. And as you well know, the context here is speaking of what? Sin. And so, we'll see. I kind of went back to our verse. I'm not here. I'm in Ephesians 5. Let me see if I... Well, let me go there. So this context is still sin here. Righteousness. Because we're not talking about our own righteousness. But we're talking about the Christian walk, walking in light. This is referring to the same walk. Look at this. You see verse 24? Or actually, for that matter, verse the whole thing. This is referring to how you are as a person, who you are. These are the qualities that we want to take on. These are Christian virtues. This is the mind of Christ. These are the things that Christ has and who He is, and the same things that we can do as believers in Jesus Christ. But the thing that takes us away from these is not crucifying the flesh and not being cleansed. And that's where righteousness is affected. Because that's what we grow into and mature into as Christians. This is actually experiencing and applying God's righteousness to our thought process. Because as you well know, you have God's righteousness. But are you actually using God's righteousness? Are you actually applying it in such a way where you can have these qualities that this verse is referring to? Love, joy, peace, patience, we should have these. But we've got to be growing, being cleansed, being consistent, and being in the Word so we can actually have these exact qualities. Because this is the mind of Christ that we're referring to. And we can think with the same mind as Him. That's the Word. That is the Word. So when you are walking, or when we are walking in the light, in that close, close relationship with Jesus Christ, then we are what? Constantly being sanctified in truth. Remember the cleansing aspect? It cleanses you for a purpose. And what does the truth do? It has the same effect. It forms your thought process in a way that's sanctifying, and you are continually being sanctified by the Word of God. So you're kind of getting a double cleanse. You're getting it through confession, and you're also getting it through the Word. But I'm calling it sanctification here, because that's what happens to the believer as we grow. We are sanctified. That's how you can be called a saint, right? You're so holy, all of you, saints. You're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be, holy saints. That word kind of got ran through the mud. And that's why I always kind of smile, but it is true. That's what we are, and that's what we should grow to be, is holy saints. The word holy, you're not unsanctified and holy. You got to be sanctified. And that takes having all these qualities right here. And I'd be willing to bet we could work on some of those areas. Self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, patience is a huge one. Kindness, how are you with other people? Joy, are you happy? It's a question. But the Word is where we receive these things. And then look at how this thought is all wrapped up. And I'm going to end here, and we'll pick back up on this after we come back. But I think this is kind of what's interesting. This is talking about walking in the light. And then look how it ends. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Remember, walking isn't something that is automatic. It's not something that is automatic. It takes just what this verse is saying right here. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do you know how many people don't care about that part? They're living in such a way that has nothing to do with nothing. They may be dotting the I's and crossing the T's with other people, but look what we need to be doing. We need to be figuring out what's pleasing to the Lord. We need to be looking to the Word to see, how am I supposed to do this? What am I supposed to do, and how am I supposed to do it? That's where we need to go to. And I think part of this, with this comes a drive. There comes a motivation. There comes a faithfulness on the part of the believer that we all get from the Word as you continue to go in this direction, because it gives you that too. But there's an effort to learn. There's an effort to learn about the person who gave you everything, who gave His life for you, and then on top of that, He gave you everything that you could possibly want to live in such a way that is just really blows my mind. And we just have to have that desire to do just what this verse is saying. So if we can get better at that, I think we got it wrapped up. We can call it a day on this verse, but I do want to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. But let's pray. Dear Father, we are grateful and thankful for Your Word, thankful for just allowing things to happen in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand why they happen, but we know from Your Word that there's a purpose and there's meaning and there's something to gain and there's a learning process there. Either You're getting us back on track or You're showing us something to apply Your Word to watch You work. And we're just so thankful that You've designed this life in such a way where You can kind of keep us in the bumpers. You keep us in the middle and we just bounce back and forth until we get to You. We thank You so much for being a part of this whole thing, and just, we love You for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.